As Jesus is taken in the garden to be tried, his disciples scatter. As he is tried, Peter denies his Lord 3 times, even though he was probably the one closest to Jesus. They leave Jesus alone to suffer and die on the cross. Those who were closest to him abandon him. And so on the cross, he perishes with a cry of, "It is finished." But there are 2 still that are faithful that come, and they ask of Pilate for his body. We know very little about them. One is the rich council member known as Joseph of Arimathea. The other is a Pharisee known as Nicodemus, which we only know of from the famous passage where we get, "For God so loved the world," in John 3. These are both Jewish leaders. We are told that they opposed the sentencing of Jesus to death, though to no avail. They were secret disciples of Jesus among the Jewish leadership. And we are told that as they lay the Savior in the tomb that Joseph had planned to use for himself, there are women watching on: Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of Joseph, and Salome. These 3 wait at the entrance of the tomb as he is laid there, and as it is closed, they return home. For the next day is Passover, and they must rest on the Sabbath. But Sunday, the next morning after the Passover is over, they return. They come with spices to anoint Jesus' body, as they surely ran out of time the night he died. And as they come, they see that the stone is rolled away. And there is an angel there, and he says, "Do not be afraid. Why search you for the living among the dead? He who you search for is not here. He has risen. Just as he said, come and see where he is laid." And the women find the tomb empty. Jesus has risen. Jesus then appears to the disciples to convince them that he has risen, for they would not believe unless they saw him. And in a short time, all of Jesus' followers go from a deep and destitute hopelessness, their lives shattered, them having nowhere to go, to a great and outstanding joy, because Jesus, who was dead, is alive. And this should do it for us too, if we will believe and accept the truth of the resurrection. There are 3 main things I want to speak on concerning the resurrection. First, the resurrection is the greatest and ultimate proof that Jesus was who he claimed to be. Second, the resurrection is the single most important event in history. Third, it gives us hope for the... it is the most important event because it gives us hope for the future. Third, it only gives us hope if we believe. First, let us pray. Dear Father, we come before you in remembrance of your resurrection, in remembrance that you did not die and stay dead, but that death could not hold you down. You conquered it by rising again. And through your conquering of death, you too give us a chance to not have death end for us, not have the end to be death, but to have a life beyond death with you if we come to you. I pray that you'd help my words today not to be what I wish to speak, but what you wish to be spoken, that those who hear would be brought closer to you, and that if there are any of those who have never come to you before, that they would come to you now. For you have done great things in dying for us and setting a way that there can be forgiveness for us. I pray that you'd help us to always remember what you did for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus did many signs while he was on earth, miracles that gave evidence to claim he was who he was. Because anyone can say they're the Son of God. Anyone can claim to be the Messiah, but not anyone can raise the dead. Not anyone can make the lame walk. Anyone can say, "Oh, I can forgive sins," but not everyone can heal the blind. Jesus did miracles because he did not ask us to blindly believe what he was saying. Rather, he gave us proof. He gave us proof that he could do the things he claimed to do. And the resurrection is the final and greatest proof that Jesus was who he said he was. Other prophets had come before him and, through God's power, raised people from the dead. They had healed the lame, but none of them had come back from the dead. And Jesus here does something that no one else had ever done before: rose from the dead, never to die again. Even though those that had been resurrected were resurrected only for a short time, they would die again. But Jesus will never die again. Jesus demonstrated through his resurrection that he was not just some great man, as some claim him to be. He was not just another prophet or a good preacher or someone who just had some nice messages to share and some good moral teaching. Through his resurrection, he proved that he really was God. He really was the Son of God, the Messiah, come to save Israel. There is no denying that Jesus is the Son of God unless you deny the resurrection. You cannot accept one without accepting the other. And that is why the resurrection is the pivotal point. All those who deny Jesus deny also his resurrection. Jesus shows that he has the power to forgive sins, that he is really preparing a place for us, and that one day he really will return. Through his resurrection, he shows that he both is alive and powerful enough to do this. We get in the resurrection proof of what we've been promised. Many people can make promises, but Jesus showed that he can deliver. We do not blindly trust in what we have heard from Christ, but we know he can do what he said he did because he gave us proof. Proof because he came back from the dead. Through his death, he also conquered sin and death. We were forever bound to sin. We were forever bound to die. And we still will die, but death is no longer the end for us. This brings us to my second point, the importance of the resurrection for the believer. The resurrection is, in my opinion, the single most important event. It is the center of the Christian faith, and without the resurrection, Christianity is without hope. Our belief and faith hinges on the resurrection of Christ. Paul makes this clear in 1 Corinthians 13. What is our hope for the future? What is it we look towards? What is it that we are supposed to have our mind and focused on that makes the suffering of the current day bearable, that makes the hardship that we go through while we live here worth it? Well, it is what we will have in the future. It is our life with Christ. We look toward a day when there will no longer be any evil, where there no longer will be any pain. We look toward a day where we live in a place that is perfect and be perfect ourselves, where we will see and communicate with our Lord face to face. We long to be in this perfect place we are preparing for us, but how can we be sure we will have life after death? Is it just some, oh, I really wish that this would happen, and I hope it's going to be true, like we hope there won't be rain tomorrow, or we hope there won't be a crash on our drive home? Is it just some wish that we have? Is it just some desire that we willfully think that will happen? No, it is a hope that is true. It is a hope that is firm. We don't look forward wishing for it to happen. We look forward sure. We use hope in a willful wishing, but the Bible uses hope in a sure certainty of this will happen. And so when we say we have hope for the future, we are certain of what will come. Death holds no mystery for the Christian. Death holds no fear for the Christian. While others will look toward death and see uncertainty, others will look toward death and be afraid or see it as an end to their life, a capping of their story. We know that for us, death is just a beginning. Death is just the closing of our life on earth and the beginning of our life in heaven. And we can be sure that death is not our end because Jesus rose from the dead. He has the power to raise the dead, and he has promised to raise us too. And we are sure he can do this because of the resurrection. We do not look toward it with uncertainty, but we look toward it with assurity. Assurity. I'm not sure assurity is a word. Assurance. I don't know who that was, but thank you. with assurance that it will come. We trust in God, and we know that when we die, we'll be taken to be with him and one day be raised again on the last day, which we hope is soon. And so we do not have to fear death, and we do not have to fear suffering, for suffering makes us more like Christ, and death will bring us to be with Christ. And so we can share the gospel, we can do the work of God without fear. For what can man do to us? If they hurt us, they make us more like Christ, and we share in his suffering. If they kill us, we go to be with Christ, which is better than here. And so we can share the gospel without fear. We can share the gospel without terror, without concern for what man will do in opposition to God, because nothing can separate us from Christ. Nothing can separate us from love. And nothing can prevent Christ from taking us to be home with him. For he who has power over his own death surely has power over everything else, and he who is creator will not be outmatched by his creation. And so we can boldly go and share the gospel and do the work that Christ has called us to, because he has proven he has the power. When he says he will be with us and he will help us and he will give us strength, we know that he has much strength to give us. He has more than enough to share. And we know that we truly can do anything as he promised us with his help. And so let us, as hard as it is sometimes, because we are human and we are afraid, go boldly to share, not in our own power, but in the power of Christ. My third point is that the resurrection gives us hope only if we believe. The resurrection is hope for the future for the believer, not for everyone, because we still need to accept his message. Hebrews 9:27 says, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and then unto judgment." Without Christ, we know what that judgment would be. Without Christ, we know what the sentence for all humanity at that judgment would be. Guilty. It would be a hopeless judgment. Without Christ, we all go to be condemned. We all go to be doomed because we did not live up to the standard of perfection. And indeed, none can live up to that standard, for we are human and sinful. We think more of ourselves than we do of God, and we are naturally failing people. But the resurrection and Jesus' death provide a way for the forgiveness of sin. It provides us hope in what would otherwise be a hopeless landscape. It provides us a light in the darkness if we accept it. And luckily for us, Jesus does not create some long set of rules. Jesus does not say to us, "Oh, I've given you a way for salvation. Now do this and do this and do this and do this and do this." For even if it was a smaller set of rules than perfection, I'm sure we would again fail. Rather than offering us some large set of rules to follow, Jesus offers us a simple condition: acceptance. Jesus offers the free gift that we need to, free gift. So as long as we see our sin, see that we are wrong, see that we have been condemned, and accept Jesus' gift of forgiveness for those sins, we will be saved. It is simple and easy, and yet requires action. Not a hard action, surely, but action nonetheless. We must accept that gift. Now, we must also hear in order to accept that gift, which is why God calls us to share the gospel. I think it's one of Paul's epistles, but he talks about how can they pray to him of whom they have not heard. Blessed are the feet of those who preach the good news, for that way people can hear and believe. In order to believe in Christ, they must hear of him. They must know the one to whom they are to believe, and so we are to go out and share the gospel. But if there are any of those here, or any of those that you know, that have not yet accepted the great news of the gospel, that have not accepted the news that those who are sinners, those who are undeserving, those who rebelled against Christ willfully, we were in perfection and we decided that we did not want to follow God's rules. We wanted to do things our own way. We wanted to decide what was right and wrong. And so we exited Christ's perfection. But rather than let us suffer for our own choices, Christ made a way for us to escape our own choices. He died so that we might have forgiveness. And so he offers us this forgiveness. And if any are here, or any that you know of, I beg that you would share the gospel with them, and that if they are here, that you would hear the gospel, for it has eternal significance. There is no greater thing that can be done by man, nor ever will be done by man, than to accept the forgiveness Jesus offers. For it is the difference between eternity without God and without all that he is, and the eternity with God in paradise. We have the option to either choose to be with God or be without God. And I pray that you will choose to be with God, that you will choose to accept his forgiveness. For the option of being without God is a horrible one, is a sad one, and is a lonely one. Because God is the God of light. And so to be without God is to be in darkness. God is a God of love, and so to be without God is to be without love. To be without God and all that he is a truly terrifying existence. And we hope that you would be with him. And not only is the other option terrifying, but God offers paradise. He tells us that he is creating mansions for us. He is creating a great place for us to live. Jesus is a father that provides for us. And so we hope that you will be there with us. We go there and we desire as many as possible to be there with us. We desire that all come to us, as the Lord said, that he desires all, that all would come to him. And so we should earnestly be seeking to share the gospel. We should earnestly be seeking to share with those who have not. A quick review, and then we'll be done. I know this is a shorter message, but I am hungry and desire to eat, and I have a long drive ahead of me, and I'm tired, so there's that. A review, okay. Sorry. Aforementioned being tired. We should remember that Jesus is who he said he was. And because Jesus is who he says he was, he can do what he claimed to do. He gave us promises that he will give us strength, that he will be with us, that he will guide us, that we can pray to him and he will give us wisdom and he will give us help. We see through the resurrection that Jesus can do all that he claimed. And so we can be sure that we are not alone on this earth, that we are not alone in our mission, but that Christ is willing and able to help us. And because of the resurrection, because of our future that God has in store for us, because we will one day rise from the dead, that we will one day be with Christ, we can share the gospel without hope. We can do what God asks us to do with hope and without fear. For we need fear nothing, for we know what our end is, and we know what the purpose of what now is. So we can do what we desire, what God has called us to do with hope and a surety of the future. But we also remember that for those who have not heard the gospel, the future does not have hope. The future does not hold a good look like it does for us. For those who have not accepted the gospel, the future is bleak and one of sadness and sorrow. And so we desire those who are still without hope to have hope, to see the hope we have. One commentator said that we are no great people. We are simply beggars telling others where to find food. We have found the hope, the substance that gives us life, and we wish others to have it as well. Let's pray, and then we can be done. Dear Lord, I pray that you would bring all to you. We desire that all would come to you. We have found a great hope in you. We have found a great salvation in you. We have found hope in our hopelessness, and we wish that all would find it too. We pray that you would use us, unworthy as we are, to share your gospel, that you would help us to be willing, that you would help us to be strong, that you would help us to be speaking what you would have us to speak, that we would be focused on you as we go out and focused on your work and not ourselves. I pray that you'd help us to be looking toward your interests and not to our own as we go out, and that we would share the gospel and be ready to share the gospel with all those who are in need. In Jesus' name, amen.